April 27th, 2021, month-end meeting at 6:45 and a regular town board meeting at 7 o'clock.
All right, I'd like to welcome everyone to the audit meeting for April 27th, 2021, and ask the clerk to call the roll.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here.
And we've got a couple of items here we need to address. We've got this one voucher that needs to be signed.
John's got one.
We have one increase revenue, increase expenditure.
For insurance?
Yes.
And we also have to do, we're doing the resolution, start the clock ticking for permissive rest. Do we have that resolution?
We should.
I'm not sure where it is.
Is it that one, right?
Yes, that's the one.
Does he need a copy?
Where's the, what part was this in?
What part? It's under this, Townwide Trails, number 8. Okay. Is that what you're asking me?
It's under agenda item number 8 for the regular meeting.
We can it's going to do it now because part isn't the voucher we have to pay.
We're paying it next month.
Okay, all right, so we're all set. Good. All right, so we've got all the necessary signatures on the voucher. Next item we'll have to attend to is seeking a motion to increase revenues by $8,597.97. To account DB 2680, which is highway insurance recoveries, and then increase expenditures by the same amount to DB 5130.405, highway equipment repairs. And this is to recognize insurance recoveries from the damage to the town 2019 Freightliner highway truck that was involved in a overturn of the Fort River Road a while back.
So moved.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. That's it for account transfers. Anything else for audit? If not, entertain a motion to pay the bills as audited.
So moved.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And motion to close the audit.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay, we'll get started.
Are we ready?
We're ready. All right, I'd like to welcome everyone this evening to a regular Town Morrell board meeting for April 27, 2021. And please ask that the clerk call the roll for attendance.
Councilmember Hogan?
Here.
Councilmember Noonan?
Here.
Councilmember Donahue?
Here.
Supervisor Kuzniers?
Here. And if everyone will please rise for a pledge of allegiance.
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much, everyone. Do we have a town council available also from the line now?
Yes, Malcolm's good.
Malcolm's available, okay. And I expect to be joined by council member Dan Tassel, who has been called out of state.
He's under now. He's under now.
All right. So welcome, councilman. First item on the agenda this evening is the approval of minutes. We have the March 30th, the regular town board meeting minutes, as well as the April 13th, 2021 regular town board meeting minutes. So if someone would like to move them.
Motion to approve March 30th, 2021 regular town board meeting, April 13th, 2021 regular town board meeting, and April 23rd, 2021. No, I was going to stick to the board meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. March 30th and April 13th regular town board meeting minutes.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Councilmember Hogan. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And so April 23rd was the bid opening for the highway tractor. That does not, I just asked for received and filed for the record. Item two on the agenda is set future meetings and workshops. I have a request because Grievous Day is May 25th, and as a result of COVID, we have to maintain proper separation and distance. Anybody that may wish to grieve with our bar board, I'm looking to move that, the regular town board meeting that would be scheduled that night, from May 25th to May 27th. It would also be the audit meeting and the 645 audit meeting and the regular town board meeting at 7. Is that a time that would work for the board?
Seems okay with me.
At this point, I'll say yes.
Alan, is that okay with you?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, so I know the assessor will appreciate that.
Do you need to do a resolution for that change?
Yes, if someone would like to offer that resolution.
Well, I would offer that resolution.
Offered by Councilmember Hogan.
Motion to approve. Fifth main motion.
Second. Second by Councilmember Hogan. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? There we go. And next item is COVID-19
workshop. About the fee changes.
Yeah.
Might have to do a workshop on that.
Yeah, no question about it. I didn't get the.
Okay, you just put those in today. It's miscommunication between Jim and myself. That's why I just got the last one. This has the all the towns, fees, different towns.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Okay.
So we do have that. Everybody got a copy of that?
Yeah.
So you want to do a workshop?
Yeah.
All right.
If you're not that, you can.
Is that what you're trying?
actually. Yeah, I could do it actually after 5:30.
What, JD, what do you think? And what's a good time?
5:45
Yeah. Alan, is that okay with you?
It is, yeah.
Right, 5:45 We'll do a workshop to discuss updating building department fees. And I think you're ready to copy of the All
right. That's on the 4th, right?
Yes, 5:45
Are you all
set? Mm-hmm. So that's 5:45 to what? I'll close our recording workshop and so that's what I want.
Well, I think that we've gotten all the comments back. If I'm not mistaken, council's done a memo. Cataloging, if you will.
Yes, you've got all that.
So we've got all that. So basically, it's when the board has time to do a workshop on that.
Because I don't think it'll take a long time. There's some stuff, there's some language changes and stuff that I didn't get hammered on. So it's every time I'm working.
So I have availability the week of the 17th. On either the 19th or 20th.
The 20th is probably better for me.
20th? What time do you want? 7 o'clock?
I don't think there's a new park
alarm. I don't know.
I don't anticipate it being too long.
So, 6 o'clock?
6 o'clock is fine.
I'm going to say yes. I don't know if it's going to be
or
it's
going to be.
That's right.
I mean, we can, if we had to, we could change along the way. So that'll be a workshop to discuss the info we've received from the Planning Board, Zoning Board of Appeals, and Council.
And our assertive comments from the phone comments.
Yes, no, that's the picture.
Oh, yes, okay.
So it'll be 6 p.m. Thursday, May 20th. Does that work for you, Al?
Yes, it does.
All right. So we've got that on there. Anything else under meetings and workshops? If not, I'll move on to item number 3, which is the latest COVID update. And this is that episode of last evening. Saratoga County told a number of confirmed cases to date now is 14,657. Fortunately, the number of deaths is at 164. Presently, there's 288 active cases, which extrapolates to 14,205 individuals recovered. At this point in time, we have 15 individuals that are hospitalized, and the 7-day rolling average testing positivity rate has dramatically dropped from our last board meeting to 1.8%. So that's very good news. Here in the town of Moreau, total number of confirmed cases is now 683. There's presently 24 active cases, and we've seen 12 deaths. In the village of South Glens Falls, total number of confirmed cases 189, 7 active cases, 182 individuals have recovered. And we'll go over that synopsis for now. Item 4 on the agenda this evening is the South Pine Marathon Dance. As we have done historically, the town board provides a proclamation that is presented by the supervisor at the opening of the marathon dance, and essentially highlighting all the good things in the history of the marathon dance. Ending with a resolve that declares Friday, April 30th, 2021, as South
Proclamation declaring April 30th, 2021 South High Marathon Dance Day. Whereas for the 44th consecutive year, South Glens Falls High School will hold its student-driven South High Marathon Dance to raise money for individuals, families, and organizations in need of financial assistance in our community. And whereas the first South High Marathon Dance was held in 1978 with approximately 50 dancers that raised $1,500, and in 2020, SHMD raised over $800,000, totaling an amazing $8.9 million over the last four decades. And whereas our community, in the wake of an unprecedented pandemic, has come together once again with amazing generosity to keep the SHMD tradition alive. And whereas this year, Six Flags Great Escape Resort has so graciously provided this amazing venue, which will allow nearly 600 students to demonstrate how an innovative and caring group of individuals can take action to provide a meaningful impact on the lives of others. And whereas over the last 43 years, the SHMD has provided financial assistance to individuals in need of handicapped accessible vans, organ transplants, and motorized wheelchairs, and helped send terminally ill community members on vacations with their families, helped pay medical expenses, purchase gifts for needy children at Christmas time, and helped purchase major medical equipment for a local hospital. And whereas this year's event will benefit the families of Todd Ash, Alyssa Bessie, Jerry Browser, Arthur Kuhn, Tammy Corbett, Jacob French, Sophia Glanz, Finn Herringshaw, Kelly Moore, Christina Perry, Kara Rumrill, Caitlin Valla, and Shane Walsh, along with the Alzheimer's Association of Northeastern New York, American Red Cross of Northeastern New York, Angel Names Association, Big Brothers Big Sisters, Cancer Center Community Crusader, Gene Feline Corp, Moreau Community Center, Operation Adopt a Soldier, Rebuilding Together Saratoga County, Saratoga Center for the Family, and the South Glens Falls Kindness Closet. And whereas the dance marathon has become a tradition which brings our entire community together in an emotional, exciting, and gratifying experience that will stay with those involved for the rest of their lives. And whereas the Moreau Town Board extends their sincere gratitude to all those involved, and especially to the students who devote their time and effort to making the South High Marathon Dance a success. And now, therefore, be it resolved that the Moreau Town Board hereby proclaims Friday, April 30th, 2021, as South High Marathon Dance Day, as a tribute to the support and generosity of our community.
Thank you, Leanna. And this will be presented, as I indicated, at the opening of the Marathon Dance. I will be there in person to present it on Friday morning at 9 a.m. If any board member would like to accompany me, feel free to do so, and I'll make that presentation. All right. We don't have to ratify that as a proclamation, right?
I don't believe so.
Was that it?
No. I don't believe so.
Okay. All right. And next item on the agenda is the Community Development Block Grant program. The town has engaged the services of the LaBerge Group to make that application for us. All we need now is a resolution authorizing the town supervisor to sign the proposal. This is for the grant administration and delivery that we previously approved. We didn't authorize the supervisor to sign it.
So I make a motion to allow the board to authorize the supervisor to sign the community development by that.
Second. Any discussions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 6 on this evening's agenda is the building department. And there is a request from the department head to purchase a printer/scanner. And I'll refer to Council Member Noonan to provide more details, or who has the most information?
On the printer?
Yeah.
So we received the purchase request and quote summary yesterday, and Mr. Dragmiller has given us three quotes for one particular 36-inch plotter printer with scanner. It's an Epson Model T5470M. He reached out to National Direct, which they're in Schenectady. Their total price for install and setup is $5,492. Blue Dog Supplies out of Ventura, Florida, $5,495. Epson America of Los Alamitos, California, $5,495. And his recommendation is to go National Direct, their local company, Schenectady, for the total of $5,492, which that breaks down as $4,997 plus the $495 installation and setup fee. He has indicated that this will be paid from account B3620.2, unanticipated, and as of 3:30, that account had a balance of $2,000 in it. It was not included in the budget, so that's why it was unanticipated, but their printer it's broken down and it's imperative to get this thing up and running as soon as possible. So I make a motion to approve the purchase.
Before we can authorize the purchase, because we have insufficient funds in that account, it's going to require that we do a transfer of funds from the town outside contingent account, B1990.4, which has a current balance of $6,500, so I expect to be looking to transfer $2,000 from that account to account B3620.2, which is the town outside building dash.
No, we need more money than that.
So we can transfer the difference over, is what you're saying, right? See, $3,495.
So this information should be provided to the board members accurately, working with the principal account clerk, so that we know what we're doing with taxpayer dollars.
Right.
And that's not listed on this PO, which came in today. And that's why
if those numbers don't work for us, I can table this the next time. I'm fine with that. I mean,
so, am I accurate in reading that we have 6,500 in contingent?
We have 6,500 contingent. What needs to be moved over to B3620.2 is the difference between what you're purchasing and the 2,000 that's already in that account.
So it's going to be
$3,492.
So we'll have to make a motion to transfer those funds from 1990.4 to 3620.2.
Okay.
For the town.
Should we read right off of this? Sure. The numbers in the right spot?
Sure.
All right, so, okay, we'll go here. So I'd like to make a motion to transfer $3,492 from B1990.4 town outside contingent and $3,492 transfer to B3620.2 town outside building equipment.
So what was that? To transfer one for the purchase of the
printer
for the building block.
I think Council Member Donahue already did second it.
Oh, I'm going to do it.
Any discussion?
Well, that would have been nice to have this in order.
Yeah,
and I understand we do have a busy agenda this evening, including executive session, and that's why Anyway, any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. So now, I entertain a motion to make the actual purchase of the printer scanner.
Okay, so I make a motion that we, to purchase and this Epson T5470M 36-inch MFP with scanner printer from National Direct for a total cost of $5,492.
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Anything else in the building department? I do not have
anything. Planning board.
Yeah, I've got item 11 on the agenda. Let's see. Item 7, town code, chapter 7, which is fences. I believe every board member has been contacted by a resident in a unique situation. Margaret Daigle, I've actually spoken with her myself twice in relation to the town's code on fencing, and she presents a very good case for why the fence request should be a little bit higher than what our town code provides for. And it's my understanding that the town board has legislative authority to supersede that kind of resolution. Mal, are you on the line? Who's on the line for Malcolm, can you hear us? Malcolm, can you unmute?
I'll be allowed to talk.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yep, we can hear you now.
I don't see that there is in the town law the board to make this as a proposed fence ordinance to give the zoning board of appeals discretion to do that.
I thought the issue we had was that fences were never under zoning.
So, yeah, so if you look at Chapter 70 of our code, Malcolm, and you look at height, right now the building inspector and our code enforcement officer has the authority to approve that, the application process. And so we've gotten a recommendation from the zoning administrator that says it rests with the town board to be able to supersede that, but if it's part of the code, that would require a local law change. Isn't that accurate? Malcolm, you there?
Yeah.
So that would require an amendment to local law, right?
What?
So I'm not sure why the zoning administrator would indicate that we have authority to make an exception there. So I guess from that standpoint, in looking at our existing local law, it's clearly outdated. I mean, there's reference to the officers shall secure approval from the superintendent of highways and the Bureau of Fire Prevention where applicable. Well, we don't have a Bureau of Fire Prevention. One of the things that really stood out, in addition to the height limitations, location restrictions, under 70-6 is materials and composition. You're prohibited from having a fence that is constructed using barbed wire, which we all know that's a commonly used and generally accepted method of keeping cattle on the right side of the property line. It says electrically charged fences are prohibited. Poultry fences are prohibited, turkey wire, temporary fences such as snow fences. So my recommendation would be to and probably provide an exemption for those listings, or have lanes that indicates they're prohibited outside the agricultural district, because we do have active farming practices going on, and obviously this would impede that. And quite honestly, in a court of law, if it was challenged, those owning agricultural properties that have been used for agricultural purposes, under the ag districts law, localities cannot institute restrictive ordinances that prohibit generally accepted agricultural practices. So obviously we're not in line with the ag district law. So my recommendation would be to ask the attorney to draft a proposed update to the local law on fences. I know we're looking at, globally looking at our ordinances, our code, for an update to bring it up to today's needs of the community. But however, I think this needs to happen sooner before that. And we just can't wait for.
Right. No, I would agree with that. I thought we were only, like, originally when you said it, I thought we were granted the ability to approve a fence this evening. We're not at this point?
Well, that's what I was led to believe. I'm just hearing from council that we can't do it. Is that accurate, Malcolm?
I don't see that.
Because our fence is not under Chapter 70, is not zoning. And wouldn't it be all of the let's see, what do we call this? Zoning ordinances be under the zoning chapter? This looks like it's got its own chapter outside of the zoning. And I thought in the past, this board, previous to my time on it, had approved a fence for somebody because it wasn't the biggest property.
I think they did, and that was an erroneous act.
Okay.
So this came to my attention from a resident who resides in the community, and she had requested to install a 6-foot privacy fence around her backyard, including the section along Linden Street. And it was her understanding that the privacy fence along Linden Street does not fall within the fencing codes for the town of Monroe, which is why her building permit was declined. She was also informed that the town board has the ability to approve fencing that does not fall within the fencing codes for the town of Monroe. And I'm writing to you in hopes of gaining approval for her privacy fence. So is there a resolution that we can offer tonight, Malcolm, on that request?
Under the current Chapter 70 fences, I don't see that, Supervisor.
Okay.
She's agreed to the appeal of the planning board in the first district.
To the planning board or to the zoning board? To which board, Malcolm?
I'm reading it again.
Oh, okay, sorry.
I don't know how to do that.
On an entirely applicant, I appeal the decision of the building inspector according to the works office of the planning board in town of Monroe. That's in section 76E.
Yep.
Now, I see how it's written.
So she would be in violation of that.
I'm looking, reading 76E right here.
Seventy-seven.
Hey, Jim. Good. Quick question for you. We're at a board meeting and we're taking up the issue of fences in particular. So we're trying to address the constituent, Margaret Daigle, whom I know that you've had conversations with. And she's of the belief that the town board has the authority to waive the limitations of the local law. And, what action can the town board take other than to modify the local law? If it can. All right, so
they want to do it, and it's not a big change.
Yeah, and I've seen the drafts that you provided.
Yep.
And actually, after reading the first draft, we really need to take a hard look at some of the fences that are completely outlawed because they're utilized today in the agricultural portion of the town, in the ag district.
Yep.
So that means like barbed wire fences, electrically charged fences. Poultry fences. So,
you want to put that again?
Well, there should be an exemption at a minimum provided for the ag district.
Yep, I just want to get the full fence called up to date. Also, whatever needs to be done, I think that's fine.
All right, so, with the board's in agreement, do we want to direct council to work on this to accommodate issues that were raised in this particular situation?
Yeah, I'd like to. Hearing it quickly in general, this is not a big change, and a lot of people would like to see that happen because the better problems in life, you know, I've been aware of it in all the time I've been there.
Mm-hmm.
So, it would be a lot of
change. Yeah. Well, I guess the confusion arose that this resident was informed that the town board has the ability to approve fencing that does not fall within the fencing code of the town.
You can try and run that by, but I think we're kind of ended on this.
Yeah.
I think she researched it before, and there's no relief, you know. And then the next part, we have the zoning code, but I want the fence to the zoning, so we have students in the zoning, and then you have a variance.
Right. So then you're recommending that the town board move forward with it being relocated under zoning?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, we'll ask the, if everybody's in agreement, we'll ask the town attorney to get working on that.
Okay, great.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Yep.
So our next step would be public hearing after the attorney.
So, as it is with any local law, got to be a draft law put together, town board signs off on it, we got to establish a public hearing on it, public has to weigh in, it's allowed to weigh in on it, and then we come back and we either approve it or disapprove of it or amend it after the public hearing, and then once it's filed, it becomes law with the secretary. All right. Did I miss anything, Malcolm?
No, I'm okay.
Okay, good. So we just made a little more work for you. Sorry about that.
So what can we expect your timeline on this, you think?
This should be ready for next board meeting.
So that discussion, and then we have that public hearing?
We'll set a public hearing after that.
Okay.
All right. Next item I have is the Townwide Recreational Capital Reserve Fund. I have it listed as Townwide Trails, and then 8. And this is in relation to, we got our billing from the LA Group, which, as you know, is working based on a grant we received, a matching grant. Amount of $7,500, and now the town has to provide its match for that $15,000 overall funding level. And as previously committed to utilizing REC funds for this from the Capital Reserve Fund, and that is required by law. Anytime that you seek to access that funding, you have to pass a town board resolution, which establishes the, I think it's a 30-day period that somebody can ask for a permissive referendum. Is that accurate, Malcolm?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, without this being approved, then we can't pay the firm that's doing the work for us. So I would strongly encourage the board to support earmarking that $7,500 from the Capital Reserve Fund. This is a townwide Capital Reserve Fund. So if you would like to do that, I'd ask that the town clerk read the resolution and somebody can do the discussion.
Resolution of the Town Board, Town of Moreau, subject townwide recreational capital reserve fund expenditure. Whereas by resolution dated December 13, 2011, the Town Board of the Town of Moreau duly established a capital reserve fund designated as the Townwide Recreational Capital Reserve Fund for the purpose of funding the acquisition and development of lands within the Town of Moreau for recreational use, including capital improvements on lands presently owned in fee or otherwise leased or hereinafter acquired in fee or otherwise or leased by the Town. And whereas the Townwide Recreational Capital Reserve Fund has a present balance of approximately $198,787.79. Whereas the Town Board of the Town of Moreau has engaged the LA Group to implement grant number 2018-S-09, awarded by the Hudson River Valley Greenway, with such grant being in the amount of $7,500 with a $7,500 match. And whereas the purpose of the grant was to develop a conceptual master plan for a loop trail hike bike system linking the Hudson River waterfront to Moreau State Park and public resources throughout the community. And whereas the engagement of the LA Group to implement the grant for the development of a conceptual master plan is set forth above as a purpose for which the Townwide Recreational Capital Reserve Fund was established. And whereas the Town Board desires to fund the engagement of the LA Group to implement the grant for the development of a conceptual master plan as set forth above out of the Townwide Recreational Capital Reserve Fund. And whereas the Town Board, having deliberated upon this matter, and now therefore be it resolved that the Town Board hereby authorizes the expenditure of funds not to exceed $15,000.09 from the Townwide Recreational Capital Reserve Fund, a capital reserve fund for the payment to the LA Group to implement the grant for the development of a conceptual master plan as set forth above. And it is further resolved that the supervisor and or deputy supervisor is authorized to execute any documents necessary to effectuate the purchase identified above. And it is further resolved that this resolution is made pursuant to General Municipal Law Section 6C and is subject to a permissive referendum as permitted by law.
So moved. Second. Is there any discussions? And just for the background, the town board had previously engaged the services of the LA Group for the trails concept plan and the amount not to exceed $15,000. That occurred on December 10th, 2019. And so as part of this month's audit, there was a request for payment on $3,570 of that. So, any other discussion?
More than that, I would like to team up with the LA Group and as well as Dr. McNeil, and we walked here to the job park, and then also down the whole road, and kind of show them around and give them a conceptual idea of what we're looking for.
Any other discussion or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Item 9 on the agenda, a couple things. Under Water Department, first issue is clerk and town clerk brought this to our attention in relation to an error with two of our water accounts has caused one account to be overcharged and another to be undercharged. And she's looking for direction as to how it should be handled. The billing issue has since been corrected moving forward. Jesse has verified the readings for both meters. One account was overbilled by $858. And another account was
$163.14.
So obviously to adjust that billing requires town board action. So I think the board's pleasure was on how you would like to handle it. And I think everybody has that memo from the did you want to add any more to that?
Nope.
Well, Lee reached out to all of us as well, and I think that's prior input. And I was under the impression, or from my own standpoint, I would say I would support issuing the refund for the overcharge and a no charge back for the undercharge, as long as it's correct moving forward. So.
This occurred over a 3-year period?
Yeah, it started in fall of 2018.
Mm-hmm. So it's
2.5 years, yeah.
Oh. $163 over 2.5 years. I think, let's work the slate on that and move on. As long as we got it correct, we're being charged appropriately.
So, what are we doing on the overbill?
The overbill, you get a refund.
So, why wouldn't.
Oh, no, that's what I'm not. I'm sorry. On the overbill.
The $858. Right.
They were charged too much.
$858, right.
We're going to refund that, hopefully.
So my recommendation, is the property owner still the same?
I don't know. I would still have
so,
to look.
So if the property owner has changed, that kind of might maybe change how we handle it. If we overcharge them, the profits are still in the same hands as those that were overpaid or overbilled. I think that just moving forward, I don't say you cut a check. Maybe you just take it off the bills moving forward so it's paid.
Like a credit.
I would put a credit on that.
Can we give
that's
a
up to you, folks.
What's that?
I said that's up to you, folks.
Okay,
it can
so
be
I'm not, yeah, same owner. I don't want to see someone that had paid too much. Now, then if I was the owner, I would be okay with a check or a credit going forward. So,
what if they sell the house?
Well, if they've sold the house or sell the house in the future,
do we need to have a water committee digest it more?
I guess we didn't think about that when the email came out. I responded Mirror echoed some ideas that were out there with some of the fellow.
I mean, the bottom line is, if people are underpaying, this is the case for this particular instance, the water district users are the ones that pay for
right.
it. So, not the taxpayers, it's the users that do. So, just keep that in mind.
Right. Do you folks think we need to, water committee needs to get together and talk about the all the possibilities at this point in time? So the only issue is if they sell going forward over the next water billing cycles.
That's right. The only issue we have before us right now. These people don't realize yet that they've overpaid $700, so I don't know what their input would be. Once I let them know that they're getting that much of a credit, they may want their money back. I don't know.
I think the water committee needs
to. All right. The water committee will talk about it. Mr. Van Tassel, you follow him?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you and I will talk about it.
All right.
So we'll get back.
All right. So that's one item.
Think about all
very, very simple myself.
Yeah, and you know, we all want to do the right thing. We just got to make sure it's fair. Next item I have in the water is, I don't know if the water committee wants to take it up or offer more discussion on it. We have a recommendation from the town engineer to the water superintendent. In relation to the force main system, as part of the sewer district number 1, extension 5, which specifically is to regarding the apartments. And I know that the engineer is looking for additional information, but he has a recommendation on technical requirements. He has 3 of them listed. To Jesse for his input and ID, the town board's input. First one being a station must be equipped with SCADA controls that prevent the pump station from operating whenever extension 5 station or the North Monroe Industrial Park station is operating. That the system shall use the MIP signal as control. Second, technical recommendation is that the station must be capable of retaining peak hour flow for 1 hour due to the estimated operation time of extension 5 and Monroe Industrial Park stations. And then finally, the pump station design must consider the remaining pump stations utilized in the force main and the effect upon flow rates of the other pumps if the proposed stations to exceed a flow rate of 200 gallons per minute. The engineer goes on to indicate, we strongly recommend that the town require the Leonelli apartment project developer prepare an engineering report, pump station design plans for the town review and approval that complies with the above requirements. So so the engineer is looking for direction on that.
So,
and I would just offer one of the primary reasons for these requirements is that we don't, when the commercial quarter comes online, pumping constant flow through the force main, and you have other systems tying in, you don't ever want a situation to occur where the downstream entities are pumping against our system. So I guess this would require pump stations or allow them to communicate with each other so that doesn't happen. So that's one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons why Don recommend that.
So what's the next step to informally in the apartment project developer that we want them to prepare an engineering report, pump station design plan? What's our, how do we know?
So we would direct the water superintendent that the board would like this to occur.
Well, I would take the recommendation of our engineer and make that recommendation, or make that notice to Jesse that make this happen.
Malcolm, does that require a resolution or just direction of the water superintendent is good enough?
Direction of water.
Okay. Everybody okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. I'll follow up then the last item I have under water this evening, water department. Actually, I got another item here too. Just want to make the board aware that we were notified by Nightmare as our municipal general liability insurer for the town of Monroe that they conducted an investigation regarding insurance coverage on behalf of the town for the incident involving the claimant, Verizon for data loss on March 31st, 2021. This is when the directional drilling was taking place under the guidance of RMJ Curve Incorporated. They had entered into an agreement with the town to complete a dig on the roadway located at 400 Browns Road in the Grove. After review of the facts surrounding the incident, they have determined that RMJ Curve carried liability and other appropriate insurance during the project and are responsible for insuring the project. So I think the claim was like $10,000. But anyway, it's going, most of it's going against his insurance. And wanted to report on that. And the last item I have is in relation to water tapping fees. I know the Water Committee has been working looking at those fees and the issue of potentially modifying them to accommodate capacity buy-in and reflect some of the greater costs that we're seeing now since the last time we established the rates. And I think there's a recommendation from the Water Committee.
There it is.
All right. Do you want to take
that? Alan, are you able to maybe share that with the rest of the board where we're at with that?
Yeah, I can take it. Can you can hear me fine?
Yes.
So, quick question for Malcolm. It was a lead direct for the amount of content that I dive into. If we wanted to be changing some of our water connection fees or modifying a couple a bit of the verbiage on our application, does that require a resolution?
Yes.
Yeah, that's the couch.
Okay. That was another question I didn't know. All right. So, as the supervisor mentioned, the water superintendent brought the Water Committee in on a discussion. His ongoing concerns that two things are happening that are putting the town in a position where we need to take a hard look at it. One is ongoing significant increases in cost of material. Parts of material has us not in a situation where our current fees are not covering all of our costs. And so there's a reason to reevaluate the water connection fees. That's one portion. I'll talk a little bit more about that. The second item that needs to be addressed is there's a situation that occurs that our current application leaves a gap. And that is that the if we do work on a water connection and it crosses state or county roads, there's a lot more work that could be done. And there's a lack of knowledge we have until a site survey or site location has been completed. So the recommendation, we'll tackle the last one first. The recommendation of the Water Committee after working with the Water Superintendent is to add an additional item to our current application. It would become item number 17, and it would be an additional sentence that says, where work would be completed that involves state or county roads, a site location will be required before fees are assessed. That's the ask, or that's the recommendation and the ask for consideration. That would eliminate that gap where we at times find ourselves having to spend a lot more money because of things we didn't know about, and those are always determined after the fact. So that's number one item. Any questions on that before I go into the water connection fees and share the recommendation?
No. We'll go on.
All right. So the second half of the conversation, our topic is the actual connection fees. After working with our engineer, gathering data from other municipalities, reevaluating our cost versus fees, the recommendation is that we increase the fees for the situation where there is a meter being installed. So the tap fees is what we're talking about. Each of the board members have seen a copy of the recommendation in writing. Supervisor, do you want me to review those by line item?
Yeah, that'd be great for the record.
Okay. So, you know, for those familiar with the form, it's broken up into four main sections. Those four main sections are each have some subcategories. So the sections are based on size. So 3/4 inch would be the diameter of the feet going in. There's short category, long category, and open cut for clarity for everybody. The the short is if we're on the short side of the road where the main already is, and the long is if we have to travel across the road. So that's the format. Again, if we start at the top and work our way down in the long, in the three-quarter inch size, for short, it's currently 1,400. The recommendation is to go to 1,550. In the long, again, we're staying in the three-quarter inch right now. Currently, we're at 2,275. The recommendation is to go to 2,450. And on the open cut on the long, when there has to be, we can't bore under, that's currently at 3,275. The recommendation is to go to 3,450. Following the exact same format, I walked through the rest of them. On the one-inch feed, currently at 1,450, the recommendation is to go to 2,000. On the one-inch long, currently at 2,600, the recommendation is to go to 2,650. And on the one-inch open cut long, the recommendation is to go from 3,600 to 3,650. On the one-and-a-half-inch short, recommendation is from 1,750 to 2,750. On the one-and-a-half-inch long, it's currently at 3,950. Recommendation is to stay at 3,950 on that. That was currently priced in a much higher bracket before, and there's no gap or concern there. And the same thing holds true on the one-and-a-half open cut long. Currently at 4,950, recommendations did not change that. Leave that at 4,950. And then in the last category, the two-inch short, currently at 2,850. The recommendation is to go to 3,500. The two-inch long, currently at 4,450, the recommendation is to go to 4,700. And the two-inch open cut long, currently at 5,450, recommendation go to 5,700. For those that are having meter only, there is no recommendation to have any additional increases to our developers. We have a good cost structure already in place, and we're not impacted negatively, so the meter-only connections, there's no recommendation to make change there. And the other items that we wanted to add in this section under water connections is that we wanted to add some additional verbiage for non-standard installations that get presented to the county through the application process. So for someone who's looking for something that falls outside of our normal standard, we wanted to add some verbiage to cover that, and it's mostly in the one-inch and the three-quarter-inch. And the variable here is Jesse's running up against more and more situations, Jesse the water superintendent, where the usage plan for the property is much greater than the three-quarter inch can deliver in volume. And so he's recommending we add some verbiage that would allow us to establish water connection fees on a to-be-determined basis after the complete site location and application process has been completed. So you can see there's some requests for some increases. For the developers, they're not significant in totality, and they're primarily driven by the additional increase that we have in cost, and we need to look at, as we all know, for all of the taxpayers. There's no recommendation to make any changes currently to the capacity expansion buy-in fees. As we know, those currently are $1,700 per dwelling right now, so there was no recommendation to make changes to those. That's the summary of the discussions, and those are the recommendations by the board, by the Water Committee to the board.
Good, thank you for that. And just like to point out, last time that these fees were visited and modified was in September of 2018. Was there any, I'm looking at, I thought we were closer to $400 on the actual cost of meters, but I don't know what they are exactly. I know. Looking at our surrounding, some of our surrounding communities, we're in line with the inch and a half, the 2-inch sizes for meter owner only. We're actually identical. We're actually $25 lower in the smaller sizes, the 3/4 inch and the 1 inch. There's no recommendation to make those modifications from the water superintendent?
Yeah, there's no recommendation, but there was certainly discussion and evaluation, and our cost structure of those meters still leaves us in a spot. I mean, we certainly largely not opposed to it, but there was not a financial reason to increase those based on our current cost structure. All of this, I guess, I preface by making sure we don't lose sight of the fact that there's ongoing project in motion on the potential water district consolidation, and so you know this was to cover immediate needs, and further discovery could happen as we move through that other process.
Okay. What's the board's thought on any additional comments on that? Would the board like to adopt the recommendation of the water committee?
Sure. It's like
any, I take that as a motion.
That was a motion.
We have a second over here. Any discussion?
No, I thank you for spending the time on this, and it looks like it was very thorough, and like the benefits of the users are paying for the service.
Okay. So you've got a record of the proposed changes.
Mm-hmm.
Minutes, and we have a motion and a second, no other discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously, and thank you, Alan, for that description.
Thanks, Alan.
And that, I know it's something that the water superintendent has been looking for input on for a little while now.
Yeah, thank you to the water superintendent for the initiative. I just
felt
really across the line, so thank you, Justin.
All right. Anything else on the water? I do not have anything else on the water department. All right. Item 10 on the agenda is RFPs for outsourcing payroll, something that we've discussed for a number of years during budget time, and it was something that we were committed to looking at here in 2021. And so now we have draft language for the RFP for payroll services at the town and row. I think all the board members have had an opportunity to take a look at it. I know some board members have provided input as to changes they'd like to see, and it has been reviewed by the town attorney, if I'm not mistaken. And just wonder what the board's pleasure is, if you'd like to move forward on putting out RFPs for payroll processing services.
Have you had all your questions answered or comments from the board members that you need for this to go forward?
Yes, that represents a draft that's been approved by that has all of your input and was approved by council.
My recommendation would be follow the defined process to move it forward, and let's get the RFP out.
Second.
All right. We have a motion. That was a motion by Council Member Van Tassel, seconded by Council Member Hogan. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 11 on the agenda is Highway Department. We've got a couple of requests. First one is Highway Superintendent is looking to set aside $220,350 for the purchase of blacktop and Nova chip, which could be used for the 2021 town road project. There are funds allocated for this PO in account DB 5112.493.4, with a balance of $220,350 as of April 1, 2021. He indicates availability costs will determine the supplier covered under the Saratoga County Asphalt Contract Number 21-PWAC-3R, and that equates to essentially what we had budgeted for paving and over the chip for the 2021 season.
So do you need a motion? $220,350 for the Blackhawk Knowledge Chip for the 2021 road project. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion?
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Next request we have from Highway Superintendent is set aside $8,000 for the purchase of crush stone to be used on various 2021 town road projects. There are funds allocated for this purchase in account DB 51 10.493 with a balance of $12,643.94 as of April 1st. And again, the overlay cost will determine the supplier covered under the Saratoga County crush stone contract number 20-PWCSGGS-50R. So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Everybody saw that we got the bids in for the tractor and mowers. Had some correspondence back and forth with the Highway Superintendent. And as soon as we get more information on which the vendors are willing to supply, I expect to take action on that sort of thing.
Good.
And that's all I have. Item 12, Planning Zoning Board of Appeals Training. We have a proposed resolution highly recommended from the Saratoga County Planning Department. Director Jason Kemper, which essentially allows our planning board members, our zoning board of appeals members, to seek out qualified training as established by various entities, state agencies. And if we adopt this resolution, when the availability comes up for either online or in-person training, we'll be all set. We adopt this resolution, so I'd ask the clerk to read the resolution and we'll consider its adoption.
Town of Monroe resolution for acceptable training for Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals members. Whereas town law sections 267 and 271 provide that effective January 1st, 2007, all Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals members in New York State, as well as alternate members of those boards, must complete a minimum of 4 hours of training each year. And whereas the above sections of state law provide that a planning board or zoning board of appeals member shall not be eligible for reappointment to such board if they have not completed the training required by law. And whereas the above sections of state law provide that the legislative body of the town specifies which activities qualify as training to satisfy the state requirements. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the following list of agencies, commissions, associations, universities, and other organizations are approved to provide training to meet the state requirements when the training they provide pertains to municipal planning, zoning, community design, environmental issues, economic development, and local government functions and practices. Number one, the New York State Department of State, Department of Agriculture and Markets, Office of the State Comptroller, Department of Health, Department of Transportation, Department of Environmental Conservation, Office of Parks, Recreation, and Historic Preservation, Hudson River Valley Greenway. Number two, the New York State Association of Towns, the New York Conference of Mayors, the New York State Association of Counties, the New York Planning Federation, the American Planning Association, the Upstate New York Chapter of the American Planning Association and its sections, and the Metro New York Chapter of the American Planning Association and its sections. Number three, the Capital District Regional Planning Commission, Central New York Regional Planning and Development Board, Herkimer Oneida County's Comprehensive Planning Program, Lake Champlain Lake George Regional Planning Board, Long Island Regional Planning Board, Southern Tier Central Regional Planning and Development Board, Southern Tier East Regional Planning Development Board, Southern Tier West Regional Planning and Development Board, Genesee Finger Lakes Regional Planning Council, Hudson Valley Regional Council, New York State Tug Hill Commission, and Adirondack Park Agency. Number four, the Saratoga County Planning Federation, Saratoga County Planning Department, and Saratoga County Soil and Water Conservation Districts. Number 5, the Albany Law School Governmental Law Center and Institute for Legal Studies, Pace Law School, Cornell University and its Cooperative Extension. Number 6, online planning and zoning training programs offered by the New York Municipal Insurance Reciprocal, Pace University and Land Use Law Center, and the Lincoln Institute of Land Use Policy. And be it further resolved that other training activities may be approved on a case-by-case basis by the town board upon the request of a planning board or zoning board of appeals member. And be it further resolved that any new member appointed to fill the last, and that spot is blank, to be filled in months of a term, shall not be required to have attended training to be reappointed to a first full term, but must thereafter comply with the municipal training policy as provided elsewhere herein. And be it further resolved that training received by a planning board member or zoning board of appeals member in excess of 4 hours in any 1 year may be carried over by the member into succeeding years. And be it further resolved that the town clerk or building department clerk shall create and maintain a system of tracking the training individual members complete annually, which information shall be presented to the appointing authority prior to considering a member for reappointment.
Thank you very much, Leanne. And again, this is, you know, usually the Saratoga County Planning and Zoning Conference provides much of the necessary training, the annual training that's required for under state law for our various board members. However, with COVID, obviously, that's not happening. And so the break with their 17-year tradition of providing that professional training. So by adopting this, this allows the town of Mutual Brotherhood of Law with the training requirements. So the only question is third resolve from the bottom, you know, what the board's pleasure is as far as filling the number for the number of months of a term that should not be required to have attended training. So right now it reads resolved that any board member appointed to fill the last blank months of the term shall not be required.
So, are these always terms that end on December 31st? Or is it November?
No, that's just the bar. Bar is something.
So this would be for somebody who got appointed to fill an unexpired term.
But they got 3 months to go.
Yeah.
Oh, then they could get 4 hours of training in 3 months. I'm just thinking. So 3 or 4 months, someone you should say.
How was that 6 months?
I'm just thinking about when the trainings happen. They don't always happen in that fall time of year. It's hard to get them.
Oh, but they're online. Can't they go back?
They are online. True. Very true. So I'm okay with 6.
6? 6. All right. So we'll insert 6 months in there. I haven't done that. Somebody has to move that.
So motion.
Moved by Councilmember Hogan. Seconded by Councilmember Banning. Any discussion?
So, is this different than our own requirement that we have? To go with, you know, we always follow up and ask that question. Like, have our people had their training?
Right. So we're just mirroring state law.
Okay. Great. Wonderful.
Any other discussion? All in favor? Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. And supervisor items. Actually, while we've been conducting business, happy to report it's got a notification that as of 7:20 p.m., the 7-day rolling average positivity rate kind of dropped to another point. So 1.8% instead of 1.9, which I announced at the opening. And a couple items I just want to point out. I want to thank the Highway Department, which is doing an incredible job wrapping up completion of the Universal Playground, getting final couple loads of stone in the parking lot and the driveway area that rolled it. They're anticipating paving it next really next week. So I'm not sure for all that work.
That's all a little worked out now.
Yeah, and I've been in contact with our BOCES folks, and the equipment is has been relocated back for the season. The lease agreements have been signed, and looking for direction from the board. I told them our next priority is getting the trail paved down by Hudson River, which is going to require some grubbing out more so that the trail is really nice down there. And obviously, we'll have to haul some stone for that. And one question that came up, because this year they have leased a larger than in years past excavator, which can easily move the stumps that we pulled out on various projects at REC. They're willing to load them if the town wants to haul them somewhere else, either on site or off site. And if so, that would require the use of town highway trucks for half a day, 2.5 days probably. Randy thought we're probably talking about 10 loads. I don't know what the board has idea. I said I'll bring that up, and where you want to put those stumps. You want to relocate them in the park? You want to look at it and report back to me?
I would think I'd do that. I don't want to. I'm thinking about where I want it. There isn't a place down the park that I was thinking about. But I'm not really sure what other avenues we have. I'm thinking about some things that have been stored in other places. That I'm not really familiar with, but would like that with Paul or somebody else.
So if you get that info to me and I'll send it around to the board members to make sure we're okay with it, we'll give both his direction on that, and that would be great to get that out of that area.
Yeah.
A couple other items. Other supervisor items. I spoke with yesterday, this morning. There's an interest in providing volunteers to the town to assist in cleanup. This is from Steve Knopfler, who, as everybody knows, owns the rural cleaning services here in town. He's also actively involved in the Pine Knolls Alliance Church, which is looking to do opportunities to help clean up the town May 16th. And they're looking for ideas. They've reached out to the Rural Rec, they've reached out to the Community Center, they've helped the Salvation Army, Open Door, South Queensville School District, Friends of Monroe Trail System, among others. And they are looking for any recommendations where they may have volunteers numbering over 100 where they can assist the town. They have already agreed to help clean up the Sandbar Beach and get it ready for the season. And if they have any recommendations that I can apply to them.
So I know Zach carried a point from Monroe Cleaning Center when he started his cleanup Monroe Day, whatever it was, back in the spring, summer, I can't remember the dates last year. I know he wants to do this project again, and I wonder if that's something that maybe they could partner together to do that, because he kind of already made a lot of contacts, you know, in the town. Remember, we provided the trucks. If they could have the bolt launch that one time, and he wants to continue that to make it part of something the Rural Community Center does. I don't know. These are two groups we try and get together to see what they can come up with for a plan, and obviously I would support whatever they want to do. And I know when the reason I said this, he said there's 100 volunteers so far. I feel like he should appoint only a handful.
Yeah.
So,
you're talking 100.
So I wonder with whatever Zach might have in the hopper, if you could work together with these folks, that's who they come up with. That's my thought on that.
So I was in touch with Brian there, Peter Olszewski, and he was talking about this. Is this scheduled for May 17th?
16th.
I know many are having spoken with them, just planning about sandbar beach and some painting, maybe even some construction within the building, where they're taking down some walls or something. And I talked to them about possibly working down on Bolingbroke, but I think that it was, and I'm having trouble remembering exactly what Peter said about beyond sandbar beach. But there might be an opportunity where they would be doing some volunteer work at the park itself.
Okay. Well, that would be great. I mean, there was a time when every year that the community was involved in cleaning up for opening day, right?
Sure. I remember it was part of some folks.
Yeah, it was too. And our family home equipment for it too, and all that. So, you know, that's a great opportunity. But if anybody wants to give me some suggestions, just shoot me an email and I'll pass them on to Steve. And just want to make the board and public aware I've been working with Town of Wilton as well as the executive director of Grants Cottage. About promoting Grants Cottage, as many people realize and some don't. Grants Cottage is located in the town of Rome, and they are willing to donate a little sign, kind of like a ribbon, to go on the entrances to the town of Rome sign, there's a book, the town of Rome, that says Home of Grants Cottage. And I told him I thought that was a fantastic idea, and I bring up the board, and in my capacity at the county, we'll be providing them a minor contract of $15,000 to construct a small pavilion that will contain a replica of the train station that used to be there when Grant stayed on Mount McGregor. The purpose would be twofold. One, to show that piece of history, it would be to scale. But also be a covered area where school kids, school groups can go and have lunch and hear about Grant's Cottage with some protection from the weather. You know, the cottage is getting the attention that I think we're more than deserves. It might not has received enough over the years. Matter of fact, I was invited to attend last week the severing Grants Cottage from the grid, where Commissioner of Lanier State Park Recreation and Historic Preservation invited me and the supervisor from Tom Wilton and the county administrator to attend. And the state had awarded Grants Cottage a $400,000 grant to establish innocuous solar arrays right there on top of a piece of ledge, so it's not really visible, and that will now provide all the electricity to the cottage. And many people aren't aware that it was not uncommon for electricity to continue to go out serving the cottage. And so this will help.
This has a battery system.
And it has a battery system on it as well.
Nice.
So I asked if they got the necessary permission of town and road. Currently they're exempt as a state property.
I heard that.
So anyway, that's all good news.
What about parking up there? Do they have parking?
So there's limited parking around the cottage. The challenge is it's within the confines of prison property, so it's not always open. But I can tell you, I was fortunate to be invited to tour last year in my capacity as a supervisor, and they have the greatest attendance. I think like 1,400 people a year, considering COVID had shut down a lot of things. So they're very pleased about that. I'm sure they'll exceed that even more this year. But the issue of parking is a serious one.
I've had informal conversations with various entities over the past 4 years that have expressed interest in purchasing the prison, working with state officials, and none of those have come to fruition, but every time that I'm invited into those meetings, they have all committed that the deal goes through, that they'll provide property to expand the parking area. So I'll continue advocating for that.
Thank you.
The is completed. Transfer station manager.
Yes.
So we agreed to advertise for it. Before we get the advertisement in the paper, we need to come to an agreement on what you want, how you want to pay, the hours, things like that. I think everybody has a listing of the qualifications per civil service.
Yeah.
But we need to move forward on that for many reasons, and I'll be happy to share some of them in the executive session.
Yes.
Oh, I want to make our employees, most are aware, as well as the public, that there's a scam going on. It's impacting surrounding municipalities as well as Saratoga County, where personal information has been hacked somewhere along the line, and I'm getting notices from my office of active town employees that have filed for unemployment insurance and they're still gainfully employed by the town or the county. So obviously there's a significant hack that's going on out there. And, you know, I think probably half a dozen employees we've received notice that but one of the numbers much larger. So I want to make everybody aware of that. We're disputing each one that we get from the New York State Department of Labor to tell them that these are false claims and they are in fact employed by the town or the town. Everyone heard the great news that was interviewed by various media outlets regarding GlobalFoundries announcement yesterday to relocate their corporate headquarters from Silicon Valley to Malta, Luther Forest. It's going to be, have huge beneficial repercussions for the surrounding area, Saratoga County in particular. It's anticipated that it'll be a $15 billion investment, another probably 3,000 jobs coming in. Wow. That are all probably six-figure jobs. And that will just be fantastic for the town of Malta and the surrounding communities. Will provide, immediately provide for construction jobs and long-term and well-paying jobs that families can, you know, it'll be a draw for people to come to Saratoga County. It just adds to our quality of life here in Saratoga. So that's fantastic news. I know Senator Schumer, in making his announcement, indicated that this is a priority for him. He's got bipartisan support in putting together a $50 billion package, which will assist in the transition from California to the state of New York. So that's good news.
Yes.
More good news, local sales tax reports. This is from the state controller's office. I don't have it broken down by borough, but I do have it by Saratoga County. And kind of break down for March 2021 sales tax receipts compared to March of 2020 is up 26.4%. Broken down here in the town of Moreau, the year-to-date number for sales tax that we are being awarded is $571,701. That's an increase of $61,749 over last year, which is just over a 12% increase. So things are starting to turn around, which is good news there. I think that's all I have for
I can't report this at the committee, but being on the personnel committee, I don't know if anyone else has attempted to reach out to, we have a code enforcement officer applicant that has responded back to an email from their interested in anymore. I don't know if you've been able to talk to him. I've tried. I don't know if Alan, you've been able to talk to him, but I've tried. I'm still continuing to try to get this individual on the phone so that we can kind of move along with that position as well. I'll have to report on that. That's all I have to report on that.
Okay. Good. Judge Association, obviously some of it we're going to be discussing in the executive session. Just to point out that one of our employees is currently hospitalized, and we really need to be thinking about more manpower. We should be looking at not only manager position, but then somebody that be working outside and doing that. Going on to rec, bench prayer, we're still waiting for the engine for the bench prayer to get that up and running. Currently, we're following from South and South Hills. As far as the policies, they are working down there at the rec. They're taking down a couple of trees on the usual. They're milling trees to be used towards the butterfly exhibit, this plant. And they're active there. There were waiting, so my understanding is that they will be helping with some of the grading around the Universal Playground, but need to get a couple of some of the kids need to get a little bit better acclimated with the equipment before they were sent out there to do that work. Moving on to the cemetery, riding lawnmower, the normally used fireplace, is not operating properly, stalling out, and that you can't keep it running. We've had some discussion. Buildings and grounds have tried to get this up and running, have figured it out. So I requested they sent it to Ashford. So it's over at Falls Farm and Garden right now for evaluation, but it might be 4 to 6 weeks before we even hear that, just because it's so backed up. But that is currently out right now for that.
Do we have a backup?
They do have a backup mower, I think it's at the rack, that they're using for the cemetery. Insurance, we met with Upstate Insurance Agency today. We will be meeting with me here tomorrow. And then hopefully we'll have a report for the conversions.
Can I ask a question about the tractor? Yeah. Is that the one newer one we want?
No, the older one.
Okay. And then Falls Farm and Garden. I thought we were going to somebody else except for that.
Well, this is because it's John Deere, John Deere specific. Okay. That's what we want.
Okay. They just typically come in
to my next
way higher.
Oftentimes, with certain repairs.
You're like, oh, harder.
Trying to find out what is the problem with this. And if we can find that out, we might be able to repair it ourselves.
Okay.
But they don't, I'm not really sure. But it was more or less, I didn't want to bag it long until we knew what it was. They tried a couple of different things that they thought it might be, and they didn't work. In-house repairs. That's what I have.
All right. Any good? There's all set in the committee reports. We have a diverse group of topics to discuss under executive session. They will include an unnamed employee or employee's work performance. They shall include contract negotiations for the purchase of land, and also for update on tax issue case with Gary Moore.
good, Al?
Yeah, I've got audio, I don't have video, but that's fine for right now.
Thank you. I don't know how to do that.
We're ready to go. Okay.
All right, so we had a motion by Councilman Hogan, seconded by Councilmember Noonan to come out of executive session, and the report that no action was taken in executive session. And we're back in open session. We do have an item to take up. I believe Councilmember Hogan is going to address that with an update on fire protection system.
Yeah, sure. So we had learned a couple months back that the fire system or fire alarm system has not functioned properly. And the recommendation is to basically change out the control board for it. And had several different, so we had three different RFPs, and one was from Foresight Electronics, another was from New York Fire and Security, and the third was from Mahoney North Fire Plus. The price of Foresight was a quote of $5,795.52. New York Fire and Security quoted $10,500, and Mahoney North Fire quoted $8,555, and a monthly monitoring fee of $28.50. And the recommendation from Buildings and Grounds supervisor was to go with Foresight. They currently maintain or they have the alarm system. They are familiar with the system, and they are the lowest bidder at a price of $5,795.52. And I make the motion that we move forward with replacing the alarm system using Foresight Electronic Monitoring Systems. Is there a second?
Second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Yes.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries unanimously. Anything else for this evening? If not, I'll have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn?
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?